Welcome everyone to Sunlight Radio. You haven't heard from me for a while, and I apologize for that. I've been indisposed.
What the?
Hello.
Hi.
You okay?
No.
Well, hi everybody. How are you today? This is Mark Chaffardini. Thank you so much for coming back to the podcast, or should I say, thank you everybody for coming back to the Go See Talk podcast experience. No, my lips are not wired shut. I'm speaking with two phenomenally talented and entertaining thespians, ventriloquists, writers, actors. The day just is a cornucopia of awesome. So funny is the hill we're going to die on, and like it or not, we are going to have a whole lot of fun. So we're speaking to Nina Conti and Shanoa Allen about Sunlight.
I gotta get to Colorado. I gotta drop myself off the lake, and then you can have your van back.
I'm not letting some birthday clown take me to Colorado.
I'm not a birthday clown.
This is my vehicle. I need you to stop driving it.
Oh.
I've heard the Sunlight described as pitch black. How do you think that's a good description?
I don't think it's pitch black.
No, we haven't greenlit that. It's dark, but it's bright and dark. It's a very bright dark.
Yes, it's bright black.
Well, you two are rays of sunlight, so I enjoyed it thoroughly. That's not hyperbole. I didn't mean to rhyme that time, but it's nice to be speaking with you, and it sounds like you're enjoying some, looks like you're enjoying some sunlight where you are. So how's things in your world?
That was very nice. We're in LA right now, and it's very nice. We're from, he's from here, but I'm from a gray place of pavement. And so I love it here.
Well, you know, what would you like to talk about? I figure, you know, we got 20 minutes. We can really talk about anything we want. We can talk about mental health. We can talk about full body suits. We could talk about saunas, sweating your balls off. Nina is lacking that, those, but I enjoyed Sunlight so much just for the aspect of two people came together at the absolute right time. And I have so many takeaway moments and sweet tenderness amongst the flurry of profanity. But what do you guys want to talk about? What are you most excited and happy about seeing it on screen?
Sorry, I just got distracted by a little yellow bird.
Oh, very sweet.
He's very lovely. He flew away. I can't bring him back for you. Yes, what should we talk about?
Well, I find it's like oxygen now to be sharing it with people, because we have incubated this for 7 years, and now to hear audiences laughing, and sometimes they tell us they've cried. It's a very rewarding stage of the process. It's the way you live for, and we're in it now, so it's really joyous.
Yeah. I agree with that. we've built this imaginary world, and we've just shared it with each other, and writing the script together. There's been so many different versions of it, and it's expanded into a big universe that lives inside us. Having spent 7 years with it, and it's so nice to be able to finally open the door and bring people in and go, here's our castle we built. I hope you like it.
We are the sand. I mean, of that castle, to carry on the metaphor. It's all of us is in it. We put in all our bricks and built this out of it. That's what you get if you mix our parts. It's the sum of our parts.
Well, you know, if it, you can equate it to clapping, if it was just one of you, it would just be air. So the fact that you're able to put two hands together, you make a resounding, joyous sound. But you know, I had this weird thought. There's a part in the very beginning of the movie where it almost seems like everything after Jane comes into the picture could be a dream. You know, it's like one of those things where it seems perceivably like, could this happen? Does it happen? Like, how does the movie progress? And in your eyes, I'm getting way too metaphysical, but like, is there a plot or a direction you wanted to go that you felt like, I mean, 7 years is a lot of trying and erroring, but were there, you know, different directions you wanted to take?
Yeah, but I think we always wanted to keep it in the real world, in so much as we never wanted it to come across that Monkey was Roy's imaginary friend or something like that. It was important to us that Jane existed inside that suit, and that we were dealing with real people with real emotions, and real problems.
And the suit is very lo-fi. There's no moment where you think, well, wait a minute, is this a talking monkey? I mean, you know it's a suit.
I think there is metaphor in it. We wrote the script through kind of telling each other everything about ourselves and finding ways to make a story that resonated for us. And so it's kind of sewn through the whole thing are moments that mean something to us in our actual lives. And neither of us is like, I mean, we love a pontoon, but we're not hell-bent on pontoons.
Well, hang on.
But I think we're, there's an obvious metaphor for kind of a freedom, and a freedom to be yourself, and a feeling of freedom.
Yeah, so in so far as those characters are kind of alone in the universe in that time, but it's definitely the real world. A little bit vintage, maybe.
And I love it too, because I mean the two moments that really spoke to me was the hand washing scene where Jane is definitely having some blisters from the bike pump, and then Shanoa, your character had the shovel, and just that coming together. I mean, it's like you could say that spiritually they were maybe fated to meet, and Jane came in and saved your life, but then there's a part where they're sharing and they're growing. And holy crap, when you say at the end, she's my best friend, it feels so earned. So how did you, over the course of the script, come up with so many things that felt so tangible and we're going to hook the audience like that? Did it speak to you on that level?
Yes,
Yes.
definitely. I think we're exposing our feelings. I think what you're seeing on the screen is kind of, it's emotionally happening for us.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about something taking so long to do, and I actually just saw Tilda Swinton talking about a film that she's made that took 30 years to make. But whilst that sounds frustrating and slow, what happens is you get the chance to alchemize those little moments. They start to naturally find each other because you've got the ingredients sort of mixing around for so long.
We spent a lot of time improvising to develop the script. So while we did a lot of thinking and figuring out the nuts and bolts of what it means to put a story together, there's hours and hours that were spent improvising together in front of a phone camera. And
Like this. We look like this.
yeah, except for Nina's in a monkey suit.
Yeah.
Well, Nina, I think that I would imagine that to you, having a suit would be like armor as opposed to being exposed like you are on stage or in the dating show. But more to what you're saying, when you are making a film, you have the ability to cut, edit, do what you want versus something on stage that's live or like this interview, it's no stops until the end. So in a way, was that more freeing? Did you feel that there was a safety net, a creative, tether, if you will, or did it still feel sort of in the moment and I guess vivacious?
Well, I absolutely love editing. I find it a very creative part of the process as well. And it's also important during the shooting to know that you'll be editing because it gives you so much comfort and freedom to try things because you have the safety of knowing that only you get to choose whether they go in or not. So that was quite important. All the way along was to have that creative control because we could take bigger risks. And we would, yeah, that was really important and really lovely to be able to edit. Yes, it's wonderful. I would love to apply it to every part of life.
Yeah, the reverse side of that is that it's a small budget movie and we only have so much time, and with a live show you get to go back and try something else the next day, and with this you don't always have that luxury. And there's definitely moments where you go, oh my God, is that gonna be what we're left with? But yes, through the magic of editing, was able to piece together something that I feel like really works.
Well, speaking of editing, please tell me there's a 25-minute version of the whole song where even it's messes up, messing up, and you guys are making each other break with how crazy you're getting with the glory holes, and it just it, I lost it, honestly. I fell out of a couch, which wasn't very far to the ground, but it still hurt. It was a joyous hurt, but I loved it, so.
You know, a lot of people are asking about that, and I think it'll be a missed opportunity if we don't find a way to get into a studio and make
Yeah, we
a
gotta
full
release
version
that.
and release it.
Okay.
Put some beats under it. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That's gonna catch on. And
Yes.
it's a, like all holes are welcome. Everybody can add their own.
You know what would be great is if you self-published it. You self-cut it on Etsy and you did it like a 45, because that's got a big hole in the middle. A little bit of meta thing happening there. That's kind of funny.
No, that was really fun. That was accidental. We didn't know it was coming, and then we riffed with it. And then on any driving scene, if we had a little way to go back to base camp, we'd fill it with a few more holes.
Nice plug. Oh, plug hole. Well, is there a limit that you can't go to? I mean, Nina, when you're on stage, it seems like you're using Monkey as an excuse to just kind of do whatever you want, and it works so well for you. But when it's on paper and you know that you have to sort of control your output, and a movie being different from a stage performance, is there a line that you have? Is there a level you don't go to? Or what kind of holds you back?
Cross my own line a bit, actually. I mean, I wince a little during that hairdryer scene, but it's no, I don't think so. Also, I think to when you're creating something, to have any lines is it's not good for the mind, but you can order it later in the edit, I suppose.
We try to be nice, I think, is something that there's like a, you know.
Yeah, we're not after being horrible. It's got to, everything sort of got to feel okay by the end. You want, I don't know, the audience has a really strong moral compass, and you can feel when they don't like something. I mean, from stage, we've both learned that. You know what you feel instantly when they're not with you anymore. So you sort of get trained with what's right and what's wrong. They don't like mean audiences. They don't like it. That doesn't mean they don't like a bad guy. You can love a bad guy, but there's something just about plain mean that's not nice.
Well, Chanel, is there a part when in the filming process where you do something and even the crew is like, "Oh, damn, that was horrible," or something like that? You know, how do you take that real-time feedback in something that is so constructed?
Yeah. I don't know. I remember doing a comedy show in Kuala Lumpur, and we weren't allowed to say anything. Like, we weren't allowed to curse at all. There's a lot of censorship. And I thought that we would try to, and nothing sexual whatsoever. And I thought, well, if we push it a tiny bit, not to the point that we're like really being awful, but just in the spirit of freedom, if we push it a little bit, how will that go? And anything that remotely bent that way, the audience just qu shut down. They were like, "Nope, this isn't for us." And I thought, "Oh, okay, I've learned a lesson here." I think there's definitely things that I did while shooting that I found maybe embarrassing, but I don't think I did anything that shut the crew down. We tried to be pretty honest and exposing with who we are, and so you say everything, and you're like, "Okay, we stopped rolling, and now I'm still in the room with all these guys."
You've got to keep exploring until it's all understood as well. So even if it starts out like, oh, well, this could go dark, you fill out all the colors of it, and it feels okay by the end, I think.
Well, Nina, I watching your stage shows for the past 20 years, I think the most hilarious thing you've ever done is when Monkey puts you to sleep. He hypnotizes you. And I just think that that was so far ahead of everyone in the audience that it took him a couple seconds to catch up. So I'm wondering, and Chanel, you can the same question to you. Is there something that you can do now confidently? It's become part of who you are, that 20 years ago you're like, there's no way I could have done that. What hill did you have to climb? What thing did you have to overcome just to be able to stand where you are and share sunlight with the world?
Gosh, that's a difficult question.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't have that full perspective, do you? What would
Only in a
we?
like a philosophical sense, I feel like a lot less concerned. I'm also, I don't know if you've seen my face, but I'm aging a little bit. And I don't care as much. I think the journey of life is, for me, is just finding more and more ways to feel all right with being who I am and being able to explore without too much shame.
Yeah, there's some real benefits to getting older. It does sieve down what's important and the ways you know to have fun and all of that sort of thing. And the people pleasing aspect, you can let that go a little bit. There's no less point in it now, which is nice.
Well, some of the best advice that I got recently is speaking in Nina's world, a K is a P. So that keeps you from putting your lips together. So the sunlight is full of a whole lot of heartwarming and hilarious profanity. But thinking of the heavy three, the SH, the FU, the CU, they don't. You can do them pretty easily with the standard alphabet. What are replacement letters that you would do other curse words?
Well, there are six letters that need replacing. It's become second nature to me now, so I struggle to list them very quickly. P, they're the plosives. P, M, K, yeah.
B.
B. Yeah, B. Yeah. So G, yeah. GITH comes out a lot. Yeah. Yes, technically, you can maybe get away with these. Word censorship if your ventriloquism is bad enough.
It's fun for the
I
whole family because, it's hidden and under the guise of humor, and my lips didn't move, so technically I didn't say it, so.
know, I mean, I've really been playing that card a long time, and it's amazing how much you can get away with it. And then, even in the suit, when I'm not standing behind it beside a monkey and throwing my voice, even in the suit. That the sting is taken out of things when there's a sort of half make-believe entity there. It's like so, it really does feel like that removed from a person makes it unaccountable and less. It's more fun and not. It doesn't feel so personal. I don't know.
Well, Shanoa, tell me something. I don't know if this was fun, but it sure made for great cinema. Did you really dig a 6-foot grave by yourself? Was there second unit that came in and excavated a little bit, or were you literally digging every shovelful?
Listen, a magician never tells his tricks,
A hell of a lot of
I
digging.
did a hell of a lot of digging. It was really important to me that it felt, I wanted it to seem as hard as Tom Hanks' coconut.
Wilson.
Yeah, I wanted it to feel like a real dig. Every movie you see, there's like two scoops come out, and then you see a shovel hitting a coffin and out the thump, thump, thump. And I wanted it to go along the journey of digging him up. And it was funny digging that long. It really felt like he was down there after a while. Started to really kind of believe in what we were doing. It was odd to be in that, and
Yeah.
it was a fabricated cemetery and a fake gravestone, and you just keep going, oh, he's down there, and digging, and I'm like, oh, is he down there? It started to feel a little
Production crew
spooky.
is having a laugh with me right now. Just have to.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a sort of insult to injury when it was like, not only is it the pitch of night, monkey's not helping, and then it starts to rain. So you've got the aquifer and you've got the skeletons, and it seems like a big muddy mess. So I don't know who had it worse, you or the completely drenched monkey suit. It just seems like you guys were gluttons for punishment with sunlight.
Yes, and it was very cold that night.
Yeah, and it was very night shoot. I mean, there was no sleep, and it was very cold. And we were scared too because We were in the middle of nowhere and we had a certain amount of water and we couldn't waste it. So we had to get it all right first time. And Chanel would have had her hypothermia if we'd had too many goes at it. Anyway, it was really, really cold. We were cut the monkey suit was full of those little sort of heatable tea bag things that you agitate and then I put them everywhere.
Well, that and the bag of ice too. Seems like you had both polarities, so to speak. Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of adjusting the internal thermostat of that suit.
Well, people are always the product of who they're around. It seems like you guys have been an incredible compatriot for each other. But speaking of how you've grown over the years, are there heroes you look back to say, I'm so glad I met this person. I'm so glad that this person's in my life. Or even if you never met them, that one thing that you saw has been a beacon for you for the rest of your life.
Oh, definitely. We definitely are. I
Yes.
mean, yeah. I met yours the other day.
Yeah. What?
Drama teacher, who's lovely.
Yes, Daniel Stein was very meaningful to me. This drama teacher I had.
And I had a guy called Ken Campbell who gave me ventriloquism as an idea I would never have come up with myself. And he was he had a theory that serious drama, things that weren't ever funny, were a great travesty of life. And so that's in my DNA a bit. It's like you've got to be able to laugh however desperate things are.
Yes, and what did Daniel teach me? He taught me that everything needs to be perpendicular. You don't want your ideas going parallel to one another. You want intersections of
I like that.
ideas. So it's you're not matching tone with tone. You're finding a different tone and intersecting it and opening up a bigger
Nice.
world that way.
I'm going to take that. If I found it in a fortune cookie, I'll be like, this is bullshit. But hearing Shanoa say it, it's like, okay, well, this is great. Life lesson. Well, Nina, I want to tell you that I really loved her master's voice, and I love the honesty and the sincerity and the journey that you took everybody on. And getting to now take characters like Leonard. I mean, Leonard came out of nowhere for me when I saw him on stage, and you pull him out and said, "It's a hoot." It just like that level of dry humor just really worked on me. So anyway, I was just gonna say that about her master's voice. There's a part where, and it's something I've always been curious about Monkey. It seems that perception, when you have fewer moving parts, it's easier to think. And I think that having Monkey be diminutive and not having handles or eyeballs, does that help in your delivery, your portrayal? And then Chenoa taking that to the film, did you find that not being complicated with the story was like it felt like it was in your zone?
From the monkey's face perspective, simplicity is everything, I think. The fact that his face doesn't move makes him a better actor. He's not overly expressing for you and sort of enables the audience to read what they need to.
I think,
Story-wise, take a bit more work.
yeah, I think, well, I mean, the story is kind of simple, I suppose. It's got a simple enough structure to it. I think, yes, I think we wanted a story that we needed a story that you were able to kind of get involved with and follow easily enough because we're in such a strange premise. So the simple building blocks of what the story is allows room for Monkey and Roy to be as strange as they are without the audience going, okay, I'm looking at all this madness and now the story's confusing also. We need to anchor them somewhere.
We wanted a dream. We wanted obstacles. We want and something fun along the way and all of that. But just building that all the way through, scene to scene, keeping the tension all the way through, enough to keep you watching. That doesn't come just easy. That took lots of work.
And keeping the keeping the kind of banter and rapport between them, the chemistry between the characters, so that the scenes aren't just spoonfuls of exposition.
Having that horrible sort of thing in my head all the way through, are people still watching? Are they still watching? Have they checked out? Yeah, they want, you know, like in the edit, it makes it so, oh God, it really matters. You know, you always think, well, I stopped watching, you know, and we do test screenings. Well, did you check out? When did we check out?
Yeah.
You know, all of that. It was.
Will people be willing to look at a monkey for this long?
Yeah.
And it turns out they are.
Yeah.
relief. And, really, you know, nice. I mean, I love that monkey so much, and it's hard. So it's hard to have objectivity and know whether people are going to be up for watching a movie that, you know, 90% of it, they're looking at a toy.
Everyone check out Sunlight. Chenoa Allen, Nina Conti, make magic in like the weirdest, most heartfelt and elaborate way possible. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you.
Does this look like a person who's mentally fit?
She's afraid to come out. She's afraid you won't like her as much as you like me.
We're gonna do big business, Roy. We're gonna leave our old lives behind, tear up the road ahead, and cause a travesty.